Sean, are you okay? You've been staring at that avocado for 20 minutes. It's turning brown.
I can't move. I'm paralyzed.
Why? Is this apocalypse actually happening? Did we miss the memo?
Worse. I have a dentist appointment.
Oh God, when?
4 p.m.
Sean, it's 10 a.m. You have 6 hours. We could have recorded 3 episodes. We could have gone to brunch.
Brunch? Are you insane? No, I'm officially in waiting mode. The day is canceled. I am now just a vessel waiting for 4 p.m. Do not perceive me. I am simply waiting for the end.
I'm about to spiral.
Apocalypse and Avocados.
Hey, Chaos Crew. Welcome back to Apocalypse and Avocados. It's Peter, and I'm joined by Sean.
Hello.
And today we're talking about the phenomenon of waiting mode. So I'm guilty of this. I know everyone's guilty of this. So my first example of this is just like a memory here. I have a million things to do. I have a million things to do today, tomorrow, everything, just preparing for life. But most of all, I have a psychiatry appointment that's coming up. And it was at 5 o'clock today. I woke up this morning and I was just like, oh, okay. So I have an appointment. So mentally, I was blocked. Like nothing. I couldn't get anything done. I couldn't focus. I was just focused on the appointment. And it just stunted everything. Have you experienced something like this, Sean?
I have a surprise meeting tomorrow morning, and I already can't get anything done today. And I'm thinking about it. The dread is just building.
So mentally, you're stunted?
Completely.
Okay. So since Sean is currently non-functional for a stranger in 6 hours, while that sounds insane, this is the waiting mode. It's the paralyzing anxiety that turns us into useless blobs before any scheduled event. So let's go into the dread here. So for those of you who don't know, waiting mode is something we all go through. It's not just time management. It's the complete inability to start tasks, big or small, because a future commitment is looming over your head. So I don't know. There's so many versions of this. I know sexual things come into play here. Like when you're sitting down and you're trying to get something done and all you can think about is maybe I should just go jerk off. Maybe I should go jerk off. I thought about it and I think I should do it. And then you just focus on that and you can't focus on doing any of your work until you do that. You have to get the task out of you. How about you, Sean? I know that was a little overshare.
That sounds like my daily life. Yeah, I feel like for me, it's more of that like sense of dread of having something that isn't part of my normal schedule where I feel that my whole entire day is thrown off because of it.
Yeah, if you think about food shopping too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What am I going to eat for dinner? You just ate fucking breakfast.
Or if you have to go get gas on the way to do something else, I know that's not quite as much because you're not waiting, but that gives me the same feeling.
But it is. It's just like that because you remember how much gas, subconsciously, you remember how much gas is in your car. And you know you have to do something later. So you're like stuck in waiting mode, waiting because you're like, oh, I need to get gas. I need to go grocery shopping. I have to pick up a card for so-and-so's birthday, whatever it may be, but you're focused on that fucking gas tank that doesn't matter right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So everyone's guilty of doing this. Food comes to mind, doing laundry, having to pick up a friend or know that there's a commitment with a friend.
Oh, I have a good one. When I used to work in retail, I used to get this all the time. If I had an evening shift or a midday shift, I just felt like my entire day was gone because I had work later in the day rather than taking advantage of the fact that I had the morning off.
Yeah, you're stuck in that. So you're stuck in the thought that, oh, shit, I have to go to work, so I can't do anything right now. I can't do anything right now because it'll just be a waste of time and I'm going to exert so much energy and I'm going to be tired after fucking working. Does this sound like anybody? It sounds very relevant to me.
Sounds like everybody I know.
Everyone's guilty of doing this at one point or another. I'm sure all of you can think back to a time when this has happened to you, whether it be sexual or just random life events. And you, it also happens with like birthdays, especially birthdays, because you're like, oh, so-and-so's birthday is next week at Friday at 5 p.m. and I need to get them a present. What are they going to like? What should I get them? I only have until 5 p.m. next Friday. It's fucking Monday. It's Monday of the week before you have to do it. And it just like cripples you for the rest of the week. It's hard for you to focus. Maybe I just have ADHD. I don't know. That sounds like for me. But at least now we can have a diagnosis. It is waiting mode. And Sean, what was the least significant thing that you could think of that's caused you the most paralysis?
Like just regular plans with someone, like, oh, I made plans to go to brunch or I made plans to go get coffee at a specific time. And honestly, I just feel like I can't do anything before that. Like nothing can be done. I have to wait until it's that time and then go. I got that the other day when we were going to visit my family. I was like, okay, we got to visit my family today, so I can't do anything right now. And it's like, why? Why can't I do anything before?
Why can't I eat? Why can't I wash my ass?
why can't I do anything? I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you bring that up, too, especially when you're going to hang out with your friends or your friends are coming over and you're stuck until you see them text, I'm here or here, whatever. You're stuck. You're like, you can't focus. You can't do anything about it. I have to wait for them to get here before my life can continue for the day.
You know what's crazy about it is that when I get it, if I'm in that situation where it's like I have to hang out with somebody, or not have to, but I'm going to be hanging out with somebody, I feel like I often can't even get ready until my brain tells me it's close enough to that time. And then often I'm rushing around trying to get ready fast enough, or I'm not ready on time because I've just been paralyzed in this waiting mode for so long.
Yeah, and then you're like scurrying around and you can't find anything. And then that gets frustrating because everything that you thought you knew where it was isn't there. And it's a fucking pain in the ass. I think this is something that we have to really figure out what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah. And then you feel like the Grinch trying on all your different clothes and you decide you're just not going because nothing looks good on you.
Yeah. That's right. I'm not going. Or maybe I'll go, but I'll be casually late. Yeah, it's such a good movie. But why do you think this happens? To be honest, I think it might be just that, I don't know, the feeling of getting interrupted.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And I also feel like it's a little bit of FOMO. Like you feel that if you start doing something, you're going to miss out on something else that you have the opportunity to do in that time because you know your time is limited and you have.
Is it limited, though?
You feel like it is. Because most of the time, the thing that's paralyzing you is only a very small window of time.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes to an hour.
A lot of the time, yeah.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes to an hour. And then you can't relax and you can't do anything small just because, like you said, you're anxious about the transition into doing something else. And it's just, I don't understand why we have this. Do we think that this is just an American thing? Do we think this is a global thing?
I can't speak for people globally, but I would imagine that this is a common feeling around the world. I feel like it wouldn't necessarily be country specific, but then again, different countries have different, like, culture in the sense of their daily life. So maybe it's more of a relaxed feeling. Maybe it's not, oh my gosh, I have this to do and my day is shot.
The reason that I bring it up, and I think it might be country specific, is because we feel like, or maybe it's not even country specific. I think that it might be region specific in our particular country. Here in the Northeast, we have a very rapid pace and we feel like we need to keep going. And when we stay sedentary for so long, we are just like, okay, I'm not getting anything done. I'm not being productive. This is not happening. I need to do something. I need to do something, whether it brush my teeth, fold some fucking laundry, smoke a blunt, whatever you do. I need to be doing something constantly. And then you go down south in the country or even to the Midwest and it's more of a relaxed pace. So it might not be country specific, but maybe it's just regional.
Yeah, and maybe there are other countries who or areas of other countries that are similar to what it's like here in the Northeast, where it's very go-go, it's very business-driven, fast-paced. And maybe they have a lot of that as well.
Yeah. I think that people need to get over this, but there actually is a theory about this. So everybody knows The Sims, like the game.
Love The Sims.
It's just like when they get stuck in The Sims, like somebody puts down a bowl of spaghetti or a bowl of cereal and then they can't walk around it.
I was just going to ask you, are we talking about they get stuck behind a piece of furniture or I take the ladder out of the pool?
Oh my God, you tortured your Sims. No, I'm talking about like when they're all in the house or they have multiple Sims in the house and you put down, you have to like cat shit in the cat litter and then you can't step around the litter box and then they start crying and they piss themselves because they're in the middle of the floor.
What about when someone puts down their dirty plate and they like act like they can't walk around it?
Yeah, or they get frustrated with it and they have to clean it at that point.
You're just screaming at the plate there.
Yeah, I can't even do a Sim voice. I know they go like flop, 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 flop. Yeah, this is a thing though on Sim. So they think it's a theory that your actions all have a cue. And you can't do anything until one action is canceled.
Gotcha. If I can't complete that action, I just can't move on until it's been canceled.
Until somebody either says, I'm not coming, or my favorite commercial is on at home, so I ain't going to see you today. Or you're like, oh, yeah, we can change what's going to be for dinner. We have this, this, this in the house. Now you can focus. Now your entire day is fucked up, though. You're fucked up because of some carrots that are moldy now in your fridge.
Moldy.
And it's absolutely stupid. But yeah, this is the Sims theory. Until you actually have that event canceled, you can't continue with the rest of your day. You just stand there awkwardly in front of the fridge, awaiting your next command, like a Sim.
What about when they would be cooking and the whole stove would catch on fire?
Yeah.
When they were boiling out. Spaghetti. How did you catch the stove on fire when you were boiling spaghetti?
I think Carissa could do it. Not that she's a bad cook or anything, but I think she could do it. I'm pretty sure she could burn ice.
Didn't she have that incident with the pizza?
The pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls, yeah.
Yeah, pizza rolls. That was back when we were young, though. She was home by herself, and she had just gotten back from school, and we only had, like, pizza rolls for snacks in the fridge. So she decided she was going to make them. She put them on the ceramic plate and threw them in the microwave, put in whatever time, and she just left and came back. She came back really fast, actually. Never mind. But she had misread the time. So it says 12 minutes in the microwave, and she had put them in for 21. So my mother arrives back at the house, and all she has sees like these black clouds of smoke just billowing out of the house because Carissa's now managed to charcoal something in the microwave and throws it in the sink. It was just a whole ordeal. So I got back from school because I think it was in sixth grade at the point, and every single window in the house is open. My mother is furious in the freaking kitchen. She's like, how did you fucking put it in for 21 minutes? 21 minutes. She goes, you don't even put anything in the fucking microwave for 21 minutes. Actually, little side note, spiral. My mom used to work with this woman who used to cook everything in the microwave, even her Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh my God. Okay. So that reminds me of season one of Flavor of Love. There is a challenge where they had to cook a chicken for Flavor Flav's mom. And one of the contestants, I believe her name was Sweetie, she was a mess. She put the whole chicken in the microwave, like stuffed vegetables inside of it and stuff, and then put it in the microwave and pressed the chicken function and literally served raw chicken to his mother.
See, I don't watch this reality TV, so I completely miss this. But it's the same situation. That woman used to cook everything in the microwave, and I did not even know that you could cook something for 5 hours in the microwave. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, she cooked an entire Thanksgiving feast in her fucking microwave. Why not use the oven?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when I cook things in the microwave, they shrink up.
Yeah, like her brain. She was, you know how like when they tell you you stand in front of the microwave and you watch it, it's going to explode your brain cells. We clearly learned different things growing up.
I guess so.
A pregnant woman shouldn't stand in front of the microwave. Oh my God. Why? Is it going to cook the baby?
Maybe.
I have no fucking idea.
I feel like standing in front of the stove would be more dangerous.
Yes, especially if you're frying something. Then it's just, I don't know. I don't know how people do this, but she got pissed because she was cooking the Thanksgiving dinner and the microwave like broke down and she had to go buy a new microwave.
Well, maybe it broke down because it was sick of your shit. Don't cook a whole fucking Thanksgiving feast in me, bitch. I am not made for this.
I don't even know how she did that. That's insane to me. It was wild. And then she didn't even know what the little plastic thing inside of the turkey is for. Like, when you cook it. Yes.
So, how does she know that she had ever fully cooked the turkey?
Guessing. I'm guessing she put it in there and she's like, okay, I don't know how people do this anyway. 20 pounds. So it's an hour for each pound.
Fuck that math. I'm just going to cook it until the little thing pops and then I'm going to cut into it and make sure it's cooked all the way through.
That would be great if she knew what the little thing was. The little white thing. But anyway, back to this here. So yeah, Sims theory. Have you ever done that though? Have you ever put down like
killed
a dish?
Killed my Sims?
No, not killed them.
Oh.
You drowned them, clearly, because you put them in the fucking pool and then they fell asleep.
Also used to like lock them in a room, take away the door.
These are serial killer tendencies, Sean. We've watched shows where they lock people into a room and take away the door. This is clearly built on your real life. Oh my God. You're crazy. Yeah, and then these people are, I don't even know where to come back from that.
Can I tell you one other thing I did with The Sims? When I'd have kids and they were supposed to go to school, I would block them from being able to go to school so they would get in trouble.
Is that like a Rhode Island thing? Is it?
I would trap them in the room with a piece of furniture so they couldn't go to school, and then the bus would leave, they'd get in trouble.
I think kids are also guilty of waiting mode too, though. They're like, I can't do my homework until I beat this level. And then 5 levels later, the homework is not done. It's 11 o'clock at night.
Or I remember when I was a kid, I would have like basketball practice or something. And I would think to myself, I can't do my homework because I have basketball practice, rather than I need to do my homework because I have basketball practice.
Yeah, it's never the priority that should take precedence. But yeah, I think kids are really guilty of it. I think that we get angry about it with kids not doing their homework, but things are made to be so addictive now.
And not only that, they just worked for, 6 to 8 hours in school. Did they really need more work at home?
Did they, though? Did they?
Supposed to be.
Yeah, they're supposed to be. You're supposed to be doing a lot of stuff in school. I was in all honors classes, so I was with all the little smarty kids. And then for my senior year, I was like, okay, I'm fucking sick of this math. I want to take something a little bit easier. So I dropped my math down a level and I went into class there. And I'm like, holy shit, this is like a fucking party. This is like a dance party and nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. And it was just chaos. And I was like, I want to go back to my classroom, please. I want to go back to my class.
Listen, you dropped down a level, right? Like one level. So you probably went from...
Just in math.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you probably went from what, like calculus to...
AP trig.
Yeah, I was going to say to trig.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you went from
AP trig to algebra 2.
Okay, so I finished algebra 1 in my senior year. Can you imagine what my math class was like?
An orgy?
My math class, it was insane. There was no class happening. Ever.
Yeah, so you're sitting here and telling me that they're working 8 hours a day and they should be tired. When your class was basically people having sex with each other. That's cool.
No one was having sex with each other, but we did get invited to our teacher's Thanksgiving dinner.
That's inappropriate.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Did they try and touch you?
No.
Did they try and stuff you like a turkey?
No.
More than once?
No.
You're never. Lying here.
No, never within a teacher.
You just found out that one of your teachers was a murderer, didn't you?
I didn't just find out. It was years ago that I found out. But yeah, he was from elementary school, though, like 5th and 6th grade for me.
And that's what you want to teach your kids for 8 hours a day. You want a serial killer as their teacher.
Oh, no, he wasn't. He was just the gym teacher.
So he touched kids.
Not me. I don't know if he touched anybody else. I hope not. That's fucked up.
Was he good looking? Did you want him to touch you?
No. I mean, some of the moms thought he was, but I didn't really see the appeal.
Sorry, we went off topic there for a second. All right, so you want to play a little game?
Oh, I love games.
This game is called Productive or Paralysis. So basically, we clearly have a problem, but how bad is it? So we're going to put our anxiety to the test here and play this little game. So how we play this game is I'm going to give you a scenario. It is going to include the current time and the time/nature of an appointment.
Okay.
And you have to list 3 things that you think that you could realistically get done before that appointment. And then I will judge whether... it's plausible, or if it's going to be complete paralysis for you.
Okay.
All right. So we got our first one. This is going to be our midday interruption. So it's 9 a.m. You have a slightly stressful 15-minute phone call with your landlord at 1 p.m.
Oh, that's it?
Yes.
So what can I get done? I can make us some coffee. I can walk the dog. And shower?
Okay. I don't know. The coffee thing, yes. I'm not sure about walking the dog. And sometimes you can't even focus to take a shower. So I'm going to say this is complete paralysis for you.
I tried. All right, my turn. We've got evening void. It's 5 p.m. And you've just finished work. You're meeting friends for brunch for dinner at 7:30 p.m., but you have to shower and commute 30 minutes.
I have to shower and commute 30 minutes, and it's 5, and the event is at 7:30?
Yes, sir.
So I think I could shower, shave, and get dressed in that time. That's probably all I could do.
But don't you need to pick 3 other things? Because the shower was one of the things you already had.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so I could put on music. Try to pick things here. I could put on music. I could get dressed. And I could probably have a cocktail before I leave.
Yeah, I guess I could make you a cocktail in that time.
No one said that you were making it. It probably just came out of the fucking fridge. Yeah, I think that's realistic. What about you?
Yeah, I think that seems logical. I love how you secured it with that put on music, which takes all of 5 seconds.
Yeah, I was working at it here. All right. Ooh, I got an interesting one for you because I think I already know where this is going.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to call this one the airport protocol. It's Saturday morning. Your flight leaves at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Oh.
Meaning you need to leave for the airport at 3 a.m. Sorry, I'm already laughing.
I would love to say that I'm going to meet friends for lunch and I'm going to like double check my bags and I'm going to spend some quality time with the dog or something along those lines. But in reality, I'm pretty sure my whole Saturday is just canceled completely. Like nothing is happening.
Yeah, I would say that it was complete paralysis. You freak out every time we have to go on vacation. You throw in 90 million things into the bag.
In my defense, we're always packing right before we need to leave for the airport.
Yeah, that's the best time to pack.
No.
Yes,
no.
It is.
No, not for me. I can't. My brain doesn't work in that stressful mindset.
Your brain doesn't work 24 hours before you have to travel.
My brain doesn't work most of the time. Don't try and get it to work in hyper-stressful situations.
I don't. This would have been complete paralysis for you. And as I'm sure it would be complete paralysis for a bunch of our listeners.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a specific thing. I think this is a millennial-specific thing.
Yeah, probably. I would probably say that it's mostly millennials that... Or the largest group of people would be millennials. But I think that other generations probably deal with it too.
Yeah, I would say that Gen Z is probably paralysis on all of these. They just have no concept of time. But anyway.
I've got one for you. We're going to call this one the delivery window.
That sounds like a porno.
That's where I was going with that one.
As in like park and rear, all that stuff.
Delivery is accepted in rear.
Yeah, packages are bigger than expected.
All right. It's Tuesday. You have a package arriving. You have a package arriving.
Yeah. That would be shocking. All right. Hold on. Before you do this, that's always been weird to me in movies or slash pornos when guys put their junk in a box and give it to somebody as a gift. And then they're supposed to open it there.
And be excited.
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
That sounds unhygienic. It's mostly not a gift. And yeah, it's ridiculous. And then people are just sitting there and they're like, oh my God, what'd you get? What'd you get? And she's like, ah, blah, 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 blah.
Turns around. She's got just jizz all over her face.
Yes. She's frosted like a fucking cookie. Anyway. Sorry.
All right. So it's Tuesday. You've got a package arriving between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. And you must be home to sign for it.
You know how I am with packages.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm just waiting to see what you have to say for this one.
I'm going to be home. I'm going to be home. I'm going to be sitting there watching this. Okay, so three things. I will watch the person, the delivery. I will check every hour to make sure that delivery is on time. And then I will probably shower and then watch it again.
No, that counts as paralysis, complete paralysis.
That's what I would do. I have issues. It's the same thing when you order DoorDash. I will watch the driver.
Yes, you do. I remember like times when you would order, when we would order DoorDash, and you would watch the driver going to different places, and you'd say, why are they going here? And then they'd pick up the food and say, okay, now they're going somewhere else. Why are you taking my food over here?
Yeah. I watch it because I'm sure I'm not the only one on this one, too. I'd watch it because I'm like, my food is going to be fucking cold, but when it gets here, nobody likes soggy-ass French fries.
And it was cold.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't want a free fucking meal. I don't want a refund. I wanted my hot, crisp French fries that you have to worry about, like, a freaking chipping my implant. I want those French fries. And then they get there, and it's flaccid dick. flaccid dick, and there's no salt on it either. And then they're like a ball of mush.
Yeah, people who don't salt french fries should go to jail.
Yeah, I agree. You should salt them, maybe add a little pepper, some garlic powder on them, or some truffle oil. And
seasoned salt is lovely.
Yes, and make sure that arrives piping hot. I want to burn the roof of my mouth. I do not want this coagulated ball of mashed potatoes that used to be french fries in this fucking tray, and then you serve it to me and you expect me to thank you? I want my fucking tip back. And why are they putting the tips included now? Like, they're putting them included. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid. They have the 15, I think it's 10, 15, and 20. No, 10, 15, and 18. Why? Why do you just go get paid by hour like the rest of us do?
Listen, I struggle with the whole tip thing because I understand.
<Just the tip>.
No, I don't struggle with that. But no, I'm just kidding. Where was I? I completely lost my train. Oh, the tip thing. Tipping, yeah. It bothers me because I feel like it's an excuse for employers to not have to pay their employees better salaries or like livable wages for the work that they're doing. But at the same time, I think that it's good in the aspect that it makes people want, most of the time, makes them want to provide better service. Yeah. So I'm a firm like believer in tipping a really good service, but I think that these people still deserve to make more money for what they're doing.
I agree, but they also had the law that would have allowed them to do that. I believe it was last year, and they voted it down. Maybe we shouldn't tip anymore, and maybe they'll vote that law into existence.
Maybe.
But anyway, so that game proved that we basically are incapable of functioning like normal adults. But why? And is there any hope for us? Or should we just embrace the void? So why do you think we're like this?
I don't know. Just society in general has too many expectations of us. So when there's something that we know we have to do, we just try to chill out beforehand.
You don't think it could be attributed to like mental health, maybe like anxiety, ADHD, something like that?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, I feel like that happens all the time. I can't focus because I'm like clinically depressed. Until that medication like goes in my stomach, I cannot focus on anything. And it's really fucking sad. But I think that a lot of it has to do with that. The brain is just like struggling to transition between tasks. And I think that has a lot to do with mental health. We did do an entire episode on mental health. So if you guys have not heard it, you should go back. But I think it was 87% of Gen Zs and millennials experience some form of mental health issues.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because one thing that I can think of on this topic related to my life on a daily basis is that when I wake up and I start working for the day and I have meetings in the morning, I always am very anxious prior to my first meeting. And once I get my first meeting out of the way, some of that anxiety is lifted. Not all of it, but some of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's that anticipation of the event and the unknowns around the event, even if it's something familiar, that kind of just give us that feeling of anxiety and that stress.
Yeah. So another thing here is, do you think that time is fake?
Oh, absolutely.
You think it's just a way of conforming, like conformity for a society, just a concept?
I'm like, I go back and forth on that one, because I do feel that to an extent it is just a concept. But at the same time, I do recognize that there clearly is day and night, and it switches within a certain time period. So I think that aspect of time is real. But I think that the whole hours that we broke the day into and everything is literally just a way to get more work out of us.
Yeah, probably. So you do believe that we're victims of an industrialized sense of time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But why do you think it is that the future appointment feels like it's more important and threatening than the present moment?
I've never really thought about that, but I guess the way the first thing my brain goes to is that the present moment, you're already in it, so it doesn't feel as terrifying as what's to come. It's almost like when you have a long list of things to do and you don't know how you're going to get it all done. But it's the opposite. It's like, oh, I don't have anything to do right now. So what do I do because I have this coming up?
So you think it's impending dread that you're going to miss something?
Yeah.
So FOMO. Yeah.
More or less, I think it is a form of FOMO. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Well, good. Yeah, I think that a lot of people think that too. That you can't live in the moment because that moment is fleeting and you are preparing for the moment that you feel is going to matter for the day.
Yes, exactly.
Even though that moment is only like 30 minutes.
Yeah, and even though most of the time you're not really looking forward to that moment, it's just
yeah,
what you think holds the most weight in your day.
So do you feel like there's any unique exhaustion over that, like after the appointment is over, even if the appointment itself was easy? Is there any anxiety that you experience leading up to how it was, like it was the real work for the day?
Yeah, I definitely think that. I often get really sweaty and juicy. Yeah, sweaty and antsy, and a lot of times I'll have to get up out of my seat just before a meeting and kind of do a little moving around to calm myself down or go pet the dog or something.
Or pace between rooms.
Yeah, you know, go complain to you about something.
Or everything.
Yeah, just to get some of that anxiety out. And then I do notice that after the calls, I am, again, very sweaty, very much speaking quickly.
Anxiety ridden.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I think that happens with us, with all of us, to be honest. You know how I am. I'm very stressed out all the time. I'm always thinking about like the next thing I have to do, and I'm not really focusing on the present. I think that mainly just comes down to I need to feel like I'm in control of something. I say it all the time. You can only control what you can control. So I feel like I need to get to that moment in the day and then I'll be fine after that. But I'm not. So I experience it. I get to that moment in the day and then I'm starting to look for the next issue that needs to be solved.
Yeah.
I hope that there are some people that can relate to that. But yeah, I know that I'm not the only one on that.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people deal with. I think that's, especially this day and age, it's a common stress.
Yeah. Right. So can you think of any advice to give our listeners to have some common productivity advice?
I would say that when I notice that I'm getting this sense of dread, this waiting mode feeling going on, that I try to remind myself to just take it one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Just focus on one thing you have to get done or you want to get done. Do that thing and then move on to whatever else you have to do. Because if you start looking at every single thing, it's just going to overwhelm you even more and you're going to feel even more unproductive. So for me, that works best. Another thing that works, if that's not your style, another thing that has worked for me is listing everything out and then
like make me anxious.
Saying what's the most important thing. However, for me now, that method doesn't necessarily work well anymore.
Yeah, because prioritizing tasks, you can't really decipher which one is going to be the most important. So they all seem equally important. So it just makes you more stressed out.
Yeah.
So that's how I think about it. But my advice would be time blocking. So throughout the day in your calendars, block off like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and every hour where it's just you, just relax in that time And then think about working to the next 10 minutes. That'll help you get through the day. And then if you have an appointment at the end of the day, just work towards that. Oh, I have a 10-minute break here. I'll relax here. I have me time. I have a 5. Okay, so my next one is going to be in 45 minutes. I'll have a 5-minute break there. And it gives your time, your brain time to relax, reset, and not be so stressed out.
Absolutely. And another thing that I would say for advice that's along the same lines of time blocking, it is time blocking, but just thinking about it in a different aspect is I'm someone who needs a few minutes to prepare before a meeting. So I try to have a 5 to 10 minute buffer time between meetings, if mm-hmm. possible. So if you have the ability to build that into your schedule or include that in your schedule, do it. Don't feel like you're being unproductive by doing that. You're taking the time that you need to ensure that you make the most of your entire day.
Yeah. I feel like there are things that probably won't work as well, like doom scrolling.
Yeah.
That's not productive at all.
And often it gives me more anxiety.
Right, because then you're thinking about FOMO. Oh my God, this person's doing this. I wish I was doing that. Let's work to doing that. And then you never get there. And it's just, it's awful. It's awful for your psyche.
Yep.
Organizing Spotify playlists, that's anxiety ridden in itself. Do I organize this by genre? Do I organize this by alphabetically? Do I organize this by performer? Those are things that can get you hyper stressed out. So my advice on that would just be let it play, live in the moment, and you don't like it, hit next.
Yeah.
But also, you should make time to watch the shows that you want. Relaxation time, sit down, watch a show, put your phone on, do not disturb for that 30-minute period. If you can't live without your phone, you got a bigger issue. And just chill out. Prepare for the time that you need before that appointment at the end of the day.
We all need some us time, me time.
Yes, absolutely. Decompression time.
There you go.
Okay, so it is time to wrap up here. But first off, I want to say that it's okay for you to admit that the anxiety is real in your life, that you're dealing with a lot of things that are going on. It's okay to be verbal about it, to communicate with your friends. Just don't go fucking overboard, because we've talked about this as well. But you need to get it out, and you need, and just accept that being unproductive is just part of your process throughout the day.
Absolutely.
Because unproductivity can lead to something productive, as awful as that sounds and convoluted.
Sometimes. You never know. Okay, it's 4 p.m. The apocalypse is here. I have to go face the dentist.
Well, you did it, Sean. You waited successfully for 6 hours, and I'm proud of you. And now that's almost over. You're free.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. The waiting took everything out of me. I'm going to bed as soon as I get back.
It's 4:01 p.m.
The spiral has concluded, and if you too are currently sitting on your couch, unable to move because you have to pick up takeout in 3 hours, we see you. We are you.
So tell us your most embarrassing waiting mode stories on our socials. We need to know we're not alone.
Join us next week, assuming we don't have any appointments scheduled.